This is your Tech News Briefing for Tuesday, November 26th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal in New York. The holidays are fast approaching, also known as the season of giving gifts. You could go with a tie or socks, but every year, The Wall Street Journal's team rounds up a list of the year's best gadgets. And if you joined us yesterday, you know that we're spending this week diving into their recommendations with personal tech editor Wilson Rothman. Today, he's breaking down the best gifts for a particularly tech-savvy group, the kids. We'll get to that in a minute, but first, let's check some headlines. The streaming wars have officially reached the Super Bowl. Ads and the halftime show have made the game a must-watch for years, even for people who don't like football. And Fox Corp announced today that commercial time for the Super Bowl 54 has officially sold out. The company's executive VP said streaming services will be well represented this year, alongside those meme-worthy car, drinks, and political ads you've come to expect. The strong demand for Super Bowl ads marks a shift from previous years. Last year, it only sold out hours before the event. This year, advertisers are paying up to $5.6 million for just 30 seconds of ad time. IT job openings are at record highs, and recruiters in the industry say they're having trouble filling their open positions. But not everyone is in on the boom. New reporting shows that the age imbalance in tech continues to grow. And some older IT professionals, and by older we mean over the age of 35, are getting a pass. Experts point to several contributing factors, like the higher cost of older worker salaries, as well as their lack of skills in fast-developing new areas like artificial intelligence. And Uber has lost its license to operate in London. This comes after regulators there found that unauthorized drivers were using a loophole to pick up passengers through the ride-hailing app. The company will continue to operate in the city for the time being, but just like other tech companies, Uber is now also facing questions about how it polices the behavior of its platform users. The holiday shopping season is upon us. There are already a bunch of sales ahead of Turkey Thursday and Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and a lot of people are looking at tech gifts. Every year, the Wall Street Journal's tech team rounds up a list of the best gadgets that make for great gifts, and we have personal tech editor Wilson Rothman with us today to talk about some of the favorites, especially for the tech-friendliest demographic, kids.
That's right.
Wilson, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. So what does the market look like for kids tech this year? Are there any big broad themes that we should know about?
I mean, I'm focusing on tech that is going to make your kids a tiny bit smarter. I'm not talking about Pokemon Sword and Shield here, which is all that kids are talking about right now.
Okay. So you are trying to find gifts that make your kids smarter.
Yes.
Parents are always worrying about this. Skill development is a big, big issue. Is learning to code now one of those things that parents have to worry about? Their kids should know how to do this to be good members of society going forward?
Yes and no. I don't like the word worry, because what's always funny about coding is when I get my kids to do it and other kids to do it, they do it super intuitively. We should not worry about having our kids code. I think they're exposed to it in school, but also it's just... it's like if you play with Legos, you can kind of figure out, you know, how to code. And that's why two of my favorite gift recommendations this year are coding gifts. But as I pointed out in the gift guide, let's not call them coding gifts. Just hand them to the kid and be like, here's a cool toy for you to play with.
These aren't vegetables.
Yeah, these aren't vegetables.
This is
green candy. Exactly. Okay. Sugar snap peas.
So tell us about these.
So the first one, and I think it's a big spend, but it's probably worth it. I should say it's depending on who your kids are and what their interests are. I think it's worth it. It's iRobot's root coding robot. It looks like a tiny little Roomba. It has magnets on it, so it can stick. Like, my kids quickly ran to the fridge and stuck it on the fridge, and it can, like, roll around on the fridge. It's very funny. It's not meant for refrigerators. It's meant for whiteboards, and it has this cool little dry erase marker slot where you can program it using basic coding, you know, blocks to do really cool, like, spiral designs. It can draw. It can, like... you can draw colors on the board, and it can read the colors and make different musical notes based on what colors you program with what notes. it scales so incredibly well that there are things that were super rudimentary, like kindergarten level, and my kids were like, yeah, whatever. And then there's stuff that's so complicated they can't even conceive of it. It'd be like seniors in high school.
Wow.
So
it, I mean, that first thing sounded kind of like Turtle.
Yeah, yes.
Right?
I mean,
except really, in real life.
In real life. No, this is the whole thing. We, like, I grew up programming coordinates on a computer and seeing where the little dude would go. Now they just do it with, like anything. I actually recorded them.
This is what I call the bumper bot. So I programmed him to, whenever his front bumpers get hit, he goes back, like getting out of a parking space.
All right, what's the other coding gift on your list?
So it's Kano, which is a company that makes these build-it-yourself computers for kids. It's the Star Wars The Force and the Disney Frozen 2 coding kits. They're both basically the same thing. Obviously, one's themed towards Frozen and, in, as such, more likely to appeal to girls. And then Star Wars, you know, it's got more of the traditional lightsabers and Yodas that you think of. In addition to being an app, what like is the center of this coding kit is a sensor. It's a little black hockey puck that you wave your hand over, and depending on how you've programmed it, different things happen on the screen. I mean, the idea is like Luke can use the Force by waving his hand, so you're waving your hand. Elsa can use her magic, her frost magic or whatever it is, and the kids were having a ball with it.
Trying to do?
I'm trying to fling a forward towards a First Order stormtrooper. But it's not working. So when the app starts, I'm gonna create a porg and a First Order stormtrooper. And then when I move my hand over the force kit, it will fling the porg towards the First Order stormtrooper.
How old are your kids?
9 and 11.
Okay. So you've got some stuff for younger kids as well, right?
I do. For the, let's say, 3 to 5 year olds, there's a company that I really like called Osmo. Their whole thing is like kids are going to relate to screens, but let's give them something to play with while the screen is kind of the backdrop. In other words, don't put a tablet in a kid's hand, because we know that kids don't learn as well if they're looking at virtual objects. If they're touching objects and moving objects, they learn faster. So especially in this younger age group where it's really important, what Osmo does is gives you props. So in this case, there's a $80 Little Genius starter kit.
$80.
$80. Everything's basically $80 except that coding robot. I think $80 is this magic number where parents will... Well, it's the bend but not break price. Like $100, I'm not doing that. $80, all right, whatever. So the Osmo Little Genius Starter Kit has 4 different games in it using these props. Some of them are like dress up the character with little different like hats and shirts and pants. Another is like using these squiggly plastic shapes to write letters or create like little monsters and little creatures. It's like almost like drawing but with shapes that are already sort of half there, and you kind of put 3 or 4 of them together and create your own objects. Even my 9-year-old, who begrudgingly tested it for me, gave it a thumbs up.
Oh, okay. All right, so there's something on the list that I'm very excited about. I'm personally very excited about it. When I was a kid, my brother had a Rubik's Cube, and I absolutely solved it, which is a total lie. I never, ever solved it. And it was always kind of my life dream to solve the Rubik's Cube.
I have good news.
I'm so excited. Tell me.
But you first have to guess the price of this product.
$80.
Exactly. So it's called the Go Cube. I don't think the Rubik's license was available, but let's not kid ourselves. It's a connected Rubik's Cube. And what it does is it's very funny. Like you sync it with an app and then it's just there on the screen. So as you're using the cube, like you see it moving on the screen. So it's really like a real time thing. So then it's like, hey, do this. And it has like a little phantom move and then you do it and it goes, it's like, okay, or no, you did that wrong. the first time you solve a scrambled Rubik's Cube, even though you know you're cheating, it feels really good.
And can you then learn from that, actually? Or is it just
you
cheating
can.
The whole time?
Well, for me, it's just cheating the whole time. But for people who are, you know, willing to spend $80 on this, I think part of it is absolutely the journey. And actually, there's a little map of lessons that you can go through in the app, and it'll take you through. And it is a way to learn how to solve Rubik's Cubes. So someone could just chuck you a random Rubik's Cube at some point, and you'd be able to solve it. I think my kids are going to figure this out. I really do.
So what are you doing?
I am trying to solve the cube, and it's telling me how to solve it.
Is that cheating?
No. Well, I mean, it could be if you're in a, like a contest, but it's just an easy way to solve your Rubik's Cube.
But here's the thing. It's also a synthesizer. One of my kids'
friends
because
solving a Rubik's Cube is enough.
Well, I think it's because $80 is too much for a Rubik's Cube is the real answer. But no, one of my kids' friends was over. He's very musical, and I just handed it to him, and he started just like rocking out on it.
Oh, the volume's down.
Okay, all of these things are things that you do sitting down. Physical activity is one of the things that people really, I think, think about. I think parents think about when they're getting their kid a tech gift and they're thinking to themselves, but my kids are sitting on their phones and playing computers all day long. Is this really good for them, even if it makes them smarter?
Right.
Do you have anything for those people?
Nintendo likes to do these, like, fitness things every so often. It's like always, it must be like eating away at their conscience that they've like contributed to this lethargy, because every so often they come out with like an exercise toy. So now the new one for the Nintendo Switch is called Ring Fit Adventure. And it's playing off of a popular product that I have no personal experience with because I don't do Pilates, but it's called a Pilates resistance ring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a ring that has two grips on the sides, and you like push it in. The idea being, you know, you can do a lot of lower body workout without any props, but doing upper body workouts, if you're not like doing push-ups, is a lot harder. So this ring is supposed to like make it convenient for you to do those sorts of things in the home. I call it temptation bundling, right? It's like, okay, I don't want to work out, but I do want to play a video game. So they're like, okay, take this ring. You put one of the controllers from the Switch in the ring. You put another one on your leg, and then you like jump into this dragon slaying adventure. You run around. It's like, okay, do 20 reps to beat this dragon, whatever. You're working up a sweat. You're killing dragons. You're never going to look as good as the avatar on the screen. I don't know what kind of psychology.
But if you're a kid, you don't really care about that, right? Is this for kids or is it for adults?
I mean,
who's it for?
It is for...
Feels like a crossover product.
It's a crossover. I mean, our off-duty Gear and Gadgets editor, Matthew Kitchen, is not a kid, but he found it quite addictive.
Wilson, thank you so much for joining us.
It is my pleasure.
And that was your tech news briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.